Okay, right. So agenda paper number 8 is our work in progress paper, setting out the issues that we at the staff are currently working on but haven't presented to you at this meeting. As usual, the paper takes the format of setting out, first of all, the issues that are ongoing, so issues that we are actively working on and expect to bring to a future meeting. We then have a section from paragraph 5 of issues on hold, and that's the issue related to negative interest rates, which is subject to progress on the potential revisions to IFRS 9. And then from paragraph 6, we have the new issues that we are working on that relate to submissions that we've received. Now, some of those items are issues that were presented in the March paper, and so the submissions were included as an appendix to the March paper. And others are ones which are new this time, and we've included the submissions in the appendix to this particular paper. Really, this is being brought for your information in particular, but if you do have any questions on any of these issues, I'd be happy to try and answer those for you.
As I said when we had that earlier discussion with Liz, there is that issue about the classification of an instrument that is convertible in a variable number of shares or with a cap and a floor, and where you have an option to settle in a fixed number of shares at the issuer's hands. I think it is important not just to focus on the issuer's option, it is also important to look at the treatment of the basic instrument itself. How do you classify? I know that in practice there is an issue about, or there might be diversity about, how do you classify an instrument where at maturity it is settled in a variable number of shares in between a cap and a floor.
Yes, there are two liability equity issues that are coming up to us. Yes.
The vanilla version of that instrument where you've got a variable number of shares between a floor and a cap, I think we've been there before, a few years ago.
And certainly we will
We couldn't resolve it then. If we can resolve it now, great, but we've been there. We've just been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, we will be looking back at past discussions on that and reminding us of where we got to on those discussions as part of that analysis. Okay. The other thing just to mention, just to report back from the last ISB meeting when there were a number of matters from this committee that had been discussed. The levy's interpretation was ratified by the ISB at its last meeting, and that is scheduled for publication next week. The ISB also considered and discussed the proposals and recommendations from this committee about amending IS7 with regards to cash flows and the classification of cash flows, and accepted and agreed with your recommendations that we shouldn't be going ahead with those amendments. So I wanted to just report that back to you. And the other thing to mention, because we had brought it to you a little over a year ago, was the IFRS 8 post-implementation review. You recall we came to this committee as part of that process in terms of asking for your input on that. That's drawn to a close now, and the board completing its work on the post-implementation review, and there will be the final report on that published over the next month, just giving the final findings that the board has and learnt through that outreach that it did through the request for information for segments. And then any standard setting action would follow on after that as a separate consideration. So Wayne, that brings me to the end of
that piece. We have four, well, did we want to report on that, or
do you want to say anything on it?
Just in, under the general heading of updating you on board activity, April wanted to comment about going concern.
I just wanted to say that your recommendation from January on going concern was discussed by the ISB in their March meeting after the last IFRIC meeting. And we have had board advisors appointed, and they're currently working with us on the drafting of that amendment. So there's no immediate progress to report on that.
John?
Michael, and the board didn't agree with the recommendation on the amendment to paragraph 16 in IS7 to get rid of the conflicting principle, the cohesiveness.
That's right. They didn't agree with that. They didn't agree to amend that paragraph. And among the concerns there were that that was an amendment that was only put through a couple of years ago. It was put through for a very specific reason, and they felt that that should be maintained in the standard. Baros?
Yeah, I was looking at the ISB's agenda for, I think it's next week, where there is the issue on the mandatory tender offer, compulsory. Maybe I had not understood last time, but I thought that this issue would be sent to post-implementation review, wasn't it?
Well, we need to report to the ISB the discussions that were held at this committee. Because obviously this committee has discussed on a couple of occasions, so we're reporting that back together with some further analysis there. There were two parts to that. One was a recommendation from the committee to make an amendment regards to how, whether you, or to guidance about when you should consider two separate transactions together collectively. And then the other part was to do with whether or not you should recognize a liability. So those two pieces will be brought next week to the board with that analysis. I can't remember whether what the follow-on recommendations are from that just offhand.
Some work to be done about the entries, accounting entries, depending on whether you were treating as a single transaction and whether you were booking liability. So I don't know. I have not read that paper. So I don't know whether this type, whether the analysis has been brought at that level of depth.
No.
I recall that there was the other issue, but here it's when you acquire a subsidiary, when you get control and you are required to launch a mandatory tender offer. And what would be the consequences if you were to purchase, say, a 30% stake, so an associate stake, but you are still required to do mandatory tender offer for the NCI?
Certainly that issue is raised in the paper about the if you've acquired a 30% stake and you're required to offer for the rest, that is raised. I don't recall that there is journal entries included in the paper, though.
Anybody else? Okay, with that, we have some ceremonial duties. We have four members who will be attending their last meeting today. One of them is Peggy Smith, that we announced to you this morning. We'll have to handle the ceremonial duties for Peggy by long distance. But for Guido, Bernd, and Andrew, we do have a couple of things. We have spared almost all expense in assembling these. We have a buy card that's been signed by everybody that we can find to sign it. And then we have a frame that documents your service. You're welcome to hang that in your office. Failing that, you can hang it at home. Or if your mate finds that offensive, you're welcome to hang it in your garage or your doghouse or whatever. But I'll ask Michael to present each of those. Guido, why don't you come up first?
Thank you very much.
And Andrew. I believe, Michael, the press release has been issued now.
Yes, that was
published last on week. Our new board member, new committee members. So that will be on the IASB website, probably already is. So, okay, that ends
I'm
the.
Joanna, given
yes,
that
Joanna,
I'm not physically there, and I
you're gonna
very
object?
Much would have wanted to be, just if I would like to just very briefly say thank you and goodbye to Guido, Bent, and Andrew, and I hope you have an enjoyable dinner tonight, and maybe our paths will cross at some point in the future. I've enjoyed working with all three of you.
Thank you, Joanna. I'm not certain exactly what hoops I have to jump through now to keep you on the phone, or if you prefer to go to bed and go to sleep, I would understand that too.
Well, I have actually just decided that the hoops that you have to jump through are so enormous that you won't succeed. I'm going to go to bed, if that's all right, given that it's half past two.
I think that's a perfectly rational decision on your part. We are now going into the closed session. We will reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock London time. So I'm going to shut off the microphones now, and I look forward to tomorrow.
Okay. Good night, all.